The new trillion-dollar debt bomb? Student loans.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The amount of outstanding student loan debt in this country has reached $1 trillion. And if you scan the headlines this week, you'll find school after school raising tuition, which will almost certainly send that $1 trillion number up even further. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois is trying to address this issue at the federal level, and he joins us now from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, the numbers sound pretty scary. Americans owe now about $1 trillion in student loan debt, and people are falling behind on these loans. How serious of a problem is this right now?
You know, I think this is the next credit bubble, and unfortunately, Congress has virtually ignored it.
Well, what are they supposed to do about it?
There's several things. First, I think the president was right to call out the institutions of higher learning in his State of the Union address and tell them that this dramatic increase in the cost of tuition and fees is unsustainable. Secondly, the institutions that are involved in this, many of them, particularly the for-profit schools, are luring kids and many times their parents into debt obligations, which basically they'll never be able to repay.
When you say it's the next credit bubble, do you mean that it would have an impact beyond just students who owe this debt on the broader economy the way that the mortgage bubble did?
I'm not sure it'll have the same impact because real estate is such a central part of the economy. But imagine, if you will, thousands of students across America defaulting on their debts, but being stuck with debts that are not dischargeable in bankruptcy.
Well, who's at fault here? Is it the lender? Is it the school that's charging too much? What?
Well, I think it's a variety of things. But basically, the for-profit school industry is driving this train, and unfortunately, it's not going in the right direction. 10% of the students who have graduated from high school are in for-profit schools. Secondly, the for-profit schools receive 25% of all the federal aid to education, and almost 50% of all student loan defaults come from for-profit schools. So this is a trend line which ought to be frightening. But unfortunately, Congress has really refused to respond.
Well, let's talk about a non-for-profit school in your home state and my home state, by the way, the University of Illinois, which is raising tuition about 5% this year. It's gone up 25% in the last 5 years. How are people supposed to be able to afford this?
That's a very valid question. It reflects the fact that the state of Illinois is in terrible shape financially and is not providing assistance to education as it did in the past, particularly higher education. And so these institutions are raising their tuition rates to meet that need. I just think all higher education has spun itself into a level that's unsustainable. I mean, some of the cost here of $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 of debt each year is just considered normal.
Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, thanks so much for joining us.
Good to be with you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, down slightly in Hong Kong and Tokyo, but up about 1% right now in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 19 points to close at 13,145.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
The company that makes Apple products in China is pledging to improve working conditions at its factories. Foxconn says it'll hike pay and limit work hours after an investigation found the firm was regularly violating labor rules. The reaction from workers? Not exactly what you'd expect. Here's 23-year-old Song Shufeng.
I've worked at other factories before, and compared to them, Foxconn is much better. I make more money here. I'm able to make more through overtime, but they don't ask me to work too much. But of course, I want to work overtime. That's why I came here in the first place.
Foxconn, by the way, employs some 1.2 million workers. Here in this country, many jobs are being replaced by machines, which brings us to David Brancaccio of Marketplace's Economy 4.0 team, who is currently driving 3,200 miles across this country without interacting with humans. Here's his report on some technology that made that trip possible.
It doesn't have arms or eyes or a voice like this.
I've been trying to overload my power cells, and burn out my primary memory banks.
But this kiosk at Hyatt Place Hotels lets you check in with swipes of a credit card. The thing prints your room number and receipt on a thin strip of paper, and out of a slot comes a plastic card so you can let yourself into the room. When Hyatt strung enough of these hotels across the country so I could reach each one in a long day's drive, it made possible this strange idea of a journey across America dealing only with technology. At each of the hotels, I've also found a human receptionist full of customer service enthusiasm, but I've been trying to avoid them without being a jerk. But it's not all smooth sailing. Each time I've tried, it's taken at least 4 swipes to get it to take, and I had to switch to my backup credit card twice.
Okay, after 10 swipes, it worked.
In fact, when I called ahead before the trip, the hotel in Albuquerque told me I'd better get there quick because they're getting rid of their kiosk in a few weeks. The one in Las Vegas had already removed the kiosks. Something about repair costs was the hint. So I had to scout for a competing Westin Element hotel that had one of the bots up and working. Some labor market experts note that robots don't require health care coverage, and in this way technology has an advantage over the human workforce. But at least we don't need a repairman.
Deposit applied. Outstanding balance, 0. That's what we like. Confirm.
To confirm what I was hearing, we reached out to Hyatt. It's official. The company is eliminating the robots. Word is only 2% of travelers are using them, and the company says the guests really like the gallery hosts instead. So here's the news. In the battle versus the robots, the humans have just won a major skirmish in the hospitality industry. On the road, I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
And you can find out tonight on Marketplace if David makes it from coast to coast without talking to any humans. Can't wait to hear it. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.